curb appeal that lasts. Shop Labor Day Extra Big Deals at Lowe's. For a limited time, get 50% off all Holland pavers. Plus, save $110 on the Ego Power Plus 56-volt, 2.5-amp-hour blower trimmer combo kit. Now just $249. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's. In-store and online. Valid through 9/7. While supplies last. Selection varies by location. Holland pavers offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
He temporarily became the wolf before being permitted to return as the man. The purpose of Koryos or the Mannerbund was not to produce permanent savages. It was essentially to teach individuals to confront and learn to contain the savagery that was inside them, and then a sort of rite of passage was given to this process. Think about if youths had to undergo something like this today.
News programs from around the globe each
It certainly feels like when one gets down to it, one of the main things that young men have lost in these modern times is their connection to nature. And I say young men because of the concept of the Mannerbund, which I'll get to in a second. But I'm not just talking about looking out the window and seeing nature and being like, oh, it's so beautiful. I'm talking about actually being forced to humble themselves within the grasp of the wilderness. Men just no longer want to overcome the obstacles of nature like they once did. They don't want to confront the violence or the power within them. Not the way that would cause them to overcome the obstacles that are also within them. They don't feel the need to learn the skills that are required to be in nature or war. Nature was once like this provider of sustenance, but you had to go get it, right? You had to engage in a form of combat to get it, whether you're combating against the animal, the environment, or somebody else. But now sustenance is just kind of biologically engineered in a lab for them. So, you know, and another thing is men used to want to test the limits of their strength in situations that they could literally die in, but now lift weights to impress their chemically sterilized gym buds. The Mannerbund or the Koryos, these were ancient brotherhoods of young men who lived for a time beyond the borders of ordinary civilization. And this was in a time when things were very contested. Nations and universities, corporations, and sometimes even standing armies had not even or barely even been really defined. And these Indo-European societies, they had this subculture that no longer really exists. They had these temporary groups of young men who deliberately chose to live outside the normal social order. And studies have given us this sort of reconstructed proto-Indo-European word Koryos, which usually means like an armed company, a war party, or like a body of warriors. Native American tribes sort of reflect this concept as well. Later, Indo-European cultures preserved things like the Celtic Fianna, the Vedic warrior fraternities, Germanic war bands, the Roman Sodales, all these different types of bands of unmarried young men living apart from established society. And these were guys who had very little or no property. They had not really entered the settled world of marriage or landholding or any sort of like household authority. They occupied this sort of in-between state. They weren't really children. They weren't yet fully recognized as functioning adults. And they took all of this sort of in-betweenness, and they took it into the wilderness. And for a period of years, this young man would become a young warrior. And he existed on this geographical and sort of moral frontier of civilization. They were hunting, raiding, they were enduring hardships, learning warfare from a young age, living away from the normal domestic, quote-unquote, soft society. Wolves and dogs also repeatedly appear in the mythology surrounding these things, which makes sense because the wolf lives beyond the wall, just like these young people did. And the domesticated man, he lives within the walls, preferring the safety of sort of a comfortable, protected existence. The youth, he temporarily became the wolf before being permitted to return as the man. The purpose of Koryos, or the Mannerbund, was not to produce permanent savages. It was essentially to teach individuals to confront and learn to contain the savagery that was inside them, and then a sort of rite of passage was given to this process. Think about if youths had to undergo something like this today. I would bet there would be a lot less graffiti. I would bet there would be a lot fewer catalytic converters being stolen. I bet there would be less crime in society in general, because that criminal activity would be reserved for the forest or for the enemy nations, right? Civilization understood that young men contain aggression inherently. They contain this competitiveness, this ambition, this energy, this recklessness and desire to prove themselves in some way. And those qualities, if they're left like unattended, they can become enormously destructive. If they're not given a proper outlet or proper training or something like this, a direction to flow in, if this energy isn't given a channel to travel, it can become extremely destructive upon its own society. But these are also the qualities that these societies, and even I believe societies today, are required for exploration, defense, advancement, hunting, war, construction. Rather than pretending that these instincts didn't exist, the old societies kind of ritualized them. And today, we can see what, you know, young people are getting up to today. And a lot of times, you know, we do say stuff like, they just need to go outside. They just need to do blah, blah, blah. But what they need to do is they need to go into the woods and live like dogs. That's what they need to do. And the ones that come out, they'll be better for their time spent in the woods. The participants of Krypteia, also called Kryptoi, Plato states that this was like a hardening training that included suffering. And these people would walk barefoot during the winter. They would sleep on the ground and so on. There's stories of being buried up to their chest in dirt and having nothing but a shield to defend their head while their comrades throw spears and sticks at them. And if they survive, then they're sort of accepted into this pack. Then you have the Varangians, which these were people who, they were Scandinavian, and the members mostly came from the Gauten or the Sver tribes, which is now Sweden. And the Varangians were these warriors and traders from Scandinavia. And there's indications that possibly even women contributed to their ranks. There's also the Jomsvikinga saga, which says that no man should be admitted here who is older than 50 and no younger than 18. Everyone should be in between. Blood ties should not play a role for compensation in accepting men who did not conform to the law. No man should flee from one equally combative and equally armed. Each should avenge the other like his brother. No one should utter a word of fear or despair in any situation, however hopeless it may seem. Everything they captured on the expeditions they were to bring to the pole, lesser or greater goods that were worth money. And if someone hadn't done that, he should have to go. No one should slander. recent archaeological evidence has shown that dog killing was practiced by many of these groups of youths, and especially by societies of the Pontic Steppe. At these sites, there have been many dog bones discovered that appear to be scraped in a manner that indicates the dogs were actually skinned after being killed. But why would they kill dogs? Why would they kill their own pets? In dark and secret societies, children can sometimes be trained to be a super soldier assassin from birth, and part of their initiatory process is being forced to kill animals, especially dogs, to show, basically, that they would listen to any command they were given. By having these kids kill their dogs, which are animals which they probably loved, they were essentially being prepared for the harshness of the outer world. They were being prepared for loss. They were being prepared to commit atrocities that they didn't want to commit because they were maybe forced to do so. They were being forced to confront their pain and difficult choices for the sake of what they might be being told is the better good, or what just inherently is the better good. If you can kill a man's best friend, the idea is, then you can kill a man. Now, werewolves make an appearance here, and I'm not saying that this is where the legend of werewolves come from. It is quite an old legend, but it's possible this is one supporting concept for the origin of werewolf myths in certain part of the world. Herodotus, he describes that one of the Scythian tribes, the Nueri, would transform into wolves once a year for several days before returning to their human forms. The current trope of werewolf myth borrows heavily from Germanic culture, which retained much of the Mannerbund ritual aspects in their culture, obviously. Tierkrieger warriors identifying with animals were a massive thing in Germanic culture. Most notable of these were the berserkers. You know, we love our berserkers, right? As the radical Italian traditionalist Julius Evola states, it was this Mannerbund in which the qualifications of man had simultaneously an initiatory or sacred and a warrior meaning that wielded the power in the social group or clan. This Mannerbund was characterized by special tasks and responsibilities. It was different from all other societies to which members of the tribe belonged. In this primordial scheme, we find the fundamental categories differentiating the political order from the, quote, social order. First among these is a special chrism, namely that proper to man in the highest sense of the word, vir was the term employed in Roman times, and not merely a generic homo. This condition is marked by a sort of spiritual breakthrough and by detachment from this naturalistic and vegetative plane. Its integration is power, the principle of command belonging to the Mannerbund. We could rightfully see in this one of the constants or basic ideas that in very different applications, formulations, and derivations are uniformly found in theory, or better, in the metaphysics of the state that was professed even by the greatest civilizations of the past. So the Mannerbund provides the very foundation for Western civilization, is what Julius Evola is saying here. He goes on to say, anti-militaristic democracy is the expression of society which, with its material ideals of peace, or at most of wars waged to maintain peace, is opposed to the political principle, that is, to the principle of the Mannerbund, the shaping force of the state that has always depended on a warrior or military element, that cherished less material ideals such as honor and superiority. And you can read about this in Men Among the Ruins, which is where he wrote this. It's not hard to see how gone are the ways of confronting danger, learning loyalty, finding God through hardships, learning to control fear and wearing the skin of wolves. These are not things that young men do anymore these days. And as somebody who considers themselves a God-fearing individual, I am not necessarily promoting every young man should go out into the woods and just kill relentlessly and, you know, raid, the neighboring counties and kill a bunch of people. Obviously, that's not what I think should happen. I think that there is, though, an element of just going and spending considerable amounts of time in nature. And you don't have to just be a man for this. You can be a woman for this, too. But historically, this is like a masculine activity for most regions in the world. So that's why I'm saying it from that perspective. It's generally known by everybody who isn't, you know, a part of the brainwashed masses that men and women play different roles in society. This is just common knowledge that isn't accepted by the institutions because they say that it promotes some sort of inequality. But that's really just a demasculation of men. That's not necessarily it's a demasculation of women, I guess you could say, because women aren't men. So, but essentially what I'm saying is men can go out to the woods and do extremely difficult things and force themselves to survive without killing a bunch of people, and that would still make them way better people than the young men that we're seeing today in many situations. Obviously, there are a great many young men who don't have to prove themselves in nature, but would they benefit by?
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Experiencing themselves in that kind of environment? Probably. Because what exactly happens when a civilization, like, let's just say the United States today, retains millions of young men, but they completely eliminate nearly every meaningful right through which those young men become men? Like, what makes you a man? Is it graduating from college? Is it your frontal lobe fully developing? Like, what is it? Because a great many young men are just stuck gaming nowadays. They're stuck on TV. They have very little spine. They don't have much backbone. If something happens, they're easily pushed around. I mean, just look at the state of politics. Look at the state of basically everything. Everybody wants a participation trophy. Everybody wants to be a winner. Everybody is a wiener nowadays. Nobody is a good, hard dick, right? And sometimes that's what you need in society to keep things rigid, to keep things in line, is you need people who are willing to be the dick because they've almost died before and they didn't have to go fight in some overseas war to figure out that they're a man. Some war that has literally no benefit to their society, to them, to their people, to their family line, to their lineage, has absolutely no benefit to anybody except rich corporation owners. Like, that's not the defining of a man. That is war slavery. That's what it is. And in the same way, being in the hood and going through like some sort of rite of passage by committing murder or stealing a catalytic converter or like tagging up so many train cars or whatever, dude, like that's not making you a man either. That's making you a deviant. That kind of behavior is actually the opposite of what I'm talking about. It's the opposite of Mannerbund because it is It is to the detriment of your own people. It is to the detriment of your own society. Gang warfare is the destruction. It is a plague upon your people. The whole reason that young men undergoing Manerbund go into the woods in general is to not inflict their violence upon their society, but to come out and be their society's strongest warriors. That's the point. So if you had a bunch of men who were like, no, I... Bitch, I grew up in the woods. Like, I killed a badger with my own hands one time. Like, for months, I had to hunt with a bow that I made myself. Like, there was a wild boar that gashed me, and I was, like, bleeding out in a field, and I had to, like, tourniquet myself and drag myself back to the hovels where my boys could put me back together. Like, I'm not afraid of some AI data center going up in my hood, because that shit is not going to happen as long as people like me are around. Rust in the show True Detective, the first season, the only season really worth watching, he says this famous quote. He says, the world needs bad men to keep the other bad men from the door. What he's saying is the world needs people who are willing to do things that are questionable, things that could be even considered immoral by your general man, in order to keep worse people from roaming about the country and destroying innocence. That's what he's talking about. And these types of men who underwent Manerbund, they weren't going to allow any mortal to come and boss around their people, to come and boss around them. And those people who would seek to do so would have a very difficult time in doing so, because there was a group of young men who underwent the process of Manerbund and were essentially wolves protecting their people. The 21st century West has performed this extraordinary social experiment, in my opinion. Adolescence has lengthened, essentially. It's lengthened dramatically. Marriage now happens later in life. You know, home ownership, if you're lucky, happens much later in life. Children are happening later. People used to be having kids while they were still young. Now they're getting older, if they have kids at all. Economic independence is almost a non-occurrence for a lot of young people. Religion has sort of been outed as a social control tool instead of something to create a fanatic. And even like fraternal organizations have been given a bad stigma. And so basically, young men are pretty much taught that the only way to get this energy out properly, in the way that sort of, if you really twist it, resembles the concept of Manerbund, is by joining the military. But it's not. That's the thing. It's actually not. Even like many physical occupations have disappeared or diminished, and unsupervised childhood adventure has been engineered out of existence entirely in a lot of ways. Like, we're even adults are being taught, don't go outside, there's bugs out there now. And it's just like, wow, dude, like, we're really actually trying to kill the whole animal within us, the whole calling within us, that, you know, the call of the wild. But the underlying human animal did not disappear. The 18-year-old male sitting in front of three computer monitors, you know, with his gamer tag Berserker God of War 3000, he's only separated by a microscopic span of time from the young men who were Berserker Gods of War, who hunted and migrated and fought and explored across prehistoric Eurasia. So once again, we see that, you know, the environment changed, propaganda came into being, but there's no real way to redesign the nervous system. And so perhaps one of the defining problems of modernity is that young men have completely lost their outlet for their savagery. And I know a lot of people are going to be listening to this and going to be like, oh, I thought you were a believer in God. And, you know, like, I thought you were like godly and you wanted to like follow the righteous path and all this kind of stuff. Look, dude, like, I, yeah, I'm not saying that men need to go out into the woods and kill people, right? I'm not saying that men need to go out into the woods and express their savagery. But what I am saying is that a lot of people, they have energy in them that they don't know how to release properly, and there is no proper training ground for that as fathers become less and less present and more incapable of teaching their young men how to be solid, you know, pillars of society and how to just be good men in general. Like there's no shortage of weak and pathetic and spineless dudes out there, right? Imagine if a majority of these dudes actually did spend time out in the woods learning about their abilities, learning about their powers, being challenged, being forced into difficult situations so that that savagery became a controllable force that was channeled in a positive direction. The ancient world created these dangerous environments in which young men were expected to prove themselves before being admitted to positions of responsibility. Modern society, on the contrary, does nearly the opposite. They lift up these examples of weak men and call them the pinnacles of society, right? It extends dependency while simultaneously removing the meaningful tests of adulthood and manhood that might make somebody proud, that might make somebody want to be a father, that might make somebody want to defend their neighborhood. And, you know, I'm not ignorant to the fact that people are going to hear this and they're going to be like, oh, this dude thinks he's so macho, or you're going to get these romanticized images in your head of like Twilight style werewolves and whatever, like, oh, the guy at the gym who has a gigantic wolf tattoo on his arm or something like this. You know, part of the problem is that we have forgotten this entire concept of like a positive masculinity, like this whole masculinity idea that we have these days is rooted in one of toxic behavior because men never actually learn how to be men. But before all of this, Greece had its own well-documented man-wolf traditions, including the legend of Lycaon, who was a tyrant of Arcadia. And it's from him that the word lycanthropy even derives. And yet the classical era legend it most closely resembles the Mannerbund. It's the Luperci, a young man associated with Romulus and Remus, Rome's founders who were said to have been raised by a she-wolf on the banks of the Tiber, right? Similar wolf warrior traditions appeared among Rome's Germanic enemies east of the Rhine. Their Ulfhednar, or wolfskins, were warrior bands that were dedicated to Woden or Odin, who was himself associated with the wolves Geri and Freki, meaning greedy. As late as 930, King Harold I Fairhair is said to have employed Ulfhednar as his bodyguards. And then you've got these other Germanic warrior fraternities also preserving their animal identities and battlefield rituals for an extended period of time. You've got the Boar Warriors, who are associated with, of course, the image of the boar. You have the berserkir, the bear shirts, from whom the expression going berserk derives, and they were known for entering battle in this fierce, uncontrolled state, often with like minimal clothing or wearing the skins of animals. These brutal Mannerbund traditions left traces throughout medieval Europe and all across the world, not just Europe. Like I said before, like it was massive in Native American cultures even. And you've got all of these symbols that have existed throughout time representing what this type of masculinity actually looked like. Even King Arthur is somebody who was rumored to have undergone this Mannerbund, okay? His name, Arthur, derives from Artois, which means bear. Arthur had his Knights of the Round Table, which were an idealized model of imperial democratic governance. Like, government today wants to say that they came from this place, and yet they don't encourage this kind of this kind of development whatsoever. Another one is Robin Hood. You know, Robin Hood and his merry band of outlaws living in the Greenwood Forest and the Sherwood Forest. It's perhaps the furthest that we can actually track the traditional Manorbund into the, you know, very early modern period. He was the leading authority of the people. You know, he was the guy who would rob from the rich and give to the poor. His outlaws were his family. And today we still see echoes of this type of hero in entertainment. Like, we still love the story of Robin Hood. A24 just made a new movie, The Death of Robin Hood, right? You know, look at Jack Sparrow. He's another Robin Hood-esque figure, a sort of anti-hero who undergoes this primal process to become the hero that he is. So what happens, honestly, if the institutions that once produced responsible adults themselves begin to collapse and they no longer want these types of figures in their civilization? The civilization becomes soft and it moves into the realm of being slaves instead of independent people. The power without the Manorbund is moved from the people to the king. In these ancient days, kings and warlords and chiefs, they were constantly being replaced should the people no longer want them. But now, in modern society, that's just not the way it looks. There's all of these layers of politics and protection that keep evil leaders in power, and no amount of Manorbund could now begin to undo that process. The masculinity as we know it today is in no way, shape, or form equivalent to the Manorbund masculinity. And that is the problem. Masculinity today has been demonized, yes, but part of the problem also is that young men haven't learned to be masculine. They've just learned to flex and basically do things that make people uncomfortable and unhappy instead of...
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Transforming society because of complex issues that they've overcome to prove that they are men and that they should have a say in society. This isn't a video about being like... rein in your masculinity. This is a philosophical examination of the downfall of masculinity. So don't get your panties all in a bunch, men, because I know that there will be a bunch of you who do. But what do the people say? You know, I mentioned how political leaders see this type of person, but what do the people say? Because Romans, ancient Romans, they complained about how luxury was destroying their republican virtues. And the Greeks, they worried that prosperity was making people soft. Medieval religious writers even repeatedly warned about decadence. Even if you go into the 19th century, people are obsessing over degeneration. It does seem that every civilization seems eventually to develop some type of literature or feeling announcing that the heroic ancestors are just continually being replaced by weaker and weaker descendants. Fast forward to the end of the 19th century, and this process of abstracting Manorbund from the real world to the ideal world, the realms of European romanticism and poetry and storybooks, it was completed. And in the Anglo-Saxon world, we have the theories of like Edward Carpenter, who wrote Towards Democracy, and we have the poems of Walt Whitman, who talks about this adhesive love between men to build an organic, non-individualistic American republic. And you have all of this kind of stuff that basically takes the concept of Manorbund and makes it sound like something that never really was, but is cute to think about. about and makes the ladies blush when they think about knights in shining armor and stuff like that, right? And that was basically the beginning of the end of real, actual, you know, nature-instilled masculinity. And what follows? How does a person behave when he believes that the surrounding civilization, the world around him, is becoming less capable of forming good human beings? What belief set can this person possibly fall into to explain what's going on? To explain why the world is in shambles and nobody seems to be doing anything about it? To explain why the village is burning and there are no warriors? Nihilism, that's what. And what happens if the animals turn to nihilists? They miss the fundamental step in their development. Consume everything, believe nothing, build nothing. If the civilization is dying, enjoy the party. Another answer, of course, is rage. Find enemies, blame them, destroy something, convince yourself that destruction itself constitutes renewal. History contains plenty of men who followed that path, but there is, I think, another possibility, and paradoxically, it may be much closer to what the ancient warrior initiation ultimately demanded. Become difficult to corrupt. If the culture becomes physically weak, become strong. If attention becomes sort of fragmented, learn concentration. If craftsmanship disappears, learn to make something. If everybody becomes illiterate, study history, real history. And if, you know, you're noticing that all around you, relationships are becoming disposable to everybody, become the one reliable person in their midst. If everybody demands rights while avoiding obligations, accumulate those obligations voluntarily because you can handle them. If society becomes addicted to comfort, leave that comfort. Every generation inherits boys, but somehow it's gotta produce men. And if healthy institutions just completely stop performing that transformation or aiding in that transformation, then unhealthy institutions will eagerly and hungrily take their place. Gangs, sure, they can provide some initiation to nowhere. And the extremist movements, they can provide some sort of brotherhood that ends in selfish, destructive behavior upon the society. Cults can provide some kind of hierarchy that inherently enslaves the soul. I can go on and on about how the constructs that are coming out of modern society are designed to ensnare and capture your energy. They imitate pieces of the ancient initiation while removing its most important destination. An individual capable of great and heroic actions, but who knows when to wield his strength. Not only when, but also how and in which direction. A leader among those who might be lost. And anyway, that's it. I don't know what else to say, really. You know, there's millions of young men out there searching for tribes or deals, but they're also searching for enemies. And very few of them actually know where to direct that energy. I think the old Indo-European, the old Native American, the Hun upon the plains, the nomadic warrior archetype, the man in the wood, the rescuer from beyond, the hero who has unknowable strength, the one who prevails in battle of his own might, the one who understands restraint, the one with vision for the future, the skin-wearing bear wrestler who stands for the weak, who wages war upon those who would threaten the young and the weak of their tribe. I think all of them retreated into the woods, and they just never came out. Maybe it's time we go in after them. I don't know. Have a great day, guys. Thanks for listening. Talk to y'all later.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.